Hey guys, we don't normally do this, but I wanted to throw out a massive spoiler warning for the entire first season of the FX series American Horror Story. If you happen to be watching the show right now and aren't caught up, or if you plan on watching it sometime in the near future, you might want to skip this episode, or at the very least, skip our media consumed section in this episode, because we pretty much spoil the entire thing for you. So just wanted to throw that out there. Thanks for listening, and hope everybody has a great holiday season.
Everybody was kung fu. They fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up, they were chopping them down. It's an ancient Chinese art.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Not Just the Movies podcast, the show where we review a seemingly random film currently not in theaters. My name is Ben Pearson, and today we're going to be talking about Panna Ritikarai's 2010 film BKO Bangkok Knockout. Joining me today is my regular co-host, Tyler. How's it going, sir?
Ben, I'd like to wish a Merry Christmas to three of my favorite people in the world. Regis Philbin, John Larroquette, and Peter Cetera. Merry Christmas, guys.
Excellent. All right, joining us as well is a returning guest, the founder and head writer at theplayingfieldblog.com, Joe Leninger. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Tyler, I don't know who those last two people are.
I don't know why you gave a thumbs up. We're not on webcam.
All right.
Well, if you guys are just joining us for the first time, we start every episode with a character name game, transition into our media consume section where we talk about what we've been watching, apparently do some sort of cheers into the microphone as I'm speaking. These guys are
always freeballing,
drinking heavily in this episode. We move into our review of the week and finish up with listener voicemails and emails. You can always leave us a voicemail at 904-469-6566 or email us at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com, and you can find this and every other episode of this podcast at notjustnewmovies.com. So I want to, point out that we may suffer from a few little sound issues this week because we're recording on a totally different microphone than the one that we normally do. I'm visiting Tyler and Joe in Florida and my family, obviously, and everything else. Why are you taking pieces of paper and ripping them? Okay. Making coasters for beer. Awesome. All right, so let's go ahead and announce the character for the character name game. I've got it this week. It is Kirk Lazarus. Kirk Lazarus. So at the end of the show, we'll come back and you guys will try to guess what movie that character is from. Keeping in mind,
Blartons of Arabia.
Joe, why don't you tell people this new genre of film that you've come up with?
Yeah, it's called film. It's like film noir, but film blart, where Paul Blart remakes every famous film noir movie in Americana history,
like Blart with the Wind
or Blart by Blart West.
Okay.
Basically, so, you could take all of his audio from all of his blarty movies and, splice him in there. Maybe some of that famous music from Casablanca.
So, would it be
or
like
Casablarta?
Casablarta, there you go.
Would it be reshot? Or would
Blartigo?
Would Humphrey Bogart's face be speaking Paul Blart's audio?
Yeah, I think that'd be a classier move. You see too many times with these kids on the internet, they'll maybe cut out Blart's face and put him on the video, but that's kind of low ball. You know, you got to keep it classy.
Okay.
Arsenic and old Blart.
All right.
I hope you're continually coming up with those over the course of this episode.
That's all I know.
Yeah, pretty awesome idea there, Joe. Good stuff. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to the media consume section. This is the part of the show where we talk about what we've been consuming, any sort of pop culture stuff, movies, TV. Comic books, whatever, radio shows from the 1940s. Tyler, I'm looking at you over here.
This week in World War II.
Let's start with Joe, actually. What have you been consuming this week? Do you have anything off the top of your head?
We'll talk about a couple things here. First, we got Fox's new comedy, I Hate My Teenage Daughter.
Okay.
With
comedy, really?
with Jamie Presley. We're kind of younger guys. I don't think it's for our age group. It's definitely for your parents. Mm-hmm. But I'd say the jokes per minute are a little higher than Whitney and about on par with New Girl, which has kind of taken a nosedive.
So it's awful. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's for your parents.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Jamie Presley's good. Her redheaded friend is obnoxious, and I noticed they're kind of forcing this new trend on TV where I don't know if you guys seen this, but I feel like the networks are pressured to have gay and interracial couples, like a minimum of so many of them, and it just feels kind of forced at this point.
California law
showing up on every show.
Okay.
You know, it's
yeah, I haven't noticed that, but I think, you know, if you do one or two of those, it's fine, and then suddenly if you start seeing a trend, it's like, okay, this is clearly some sort of, you know, dictated edict from on high type
of thing. It's almost on every show, and some shows do it better than others, like Happy Endings actually have both. You actually have a homosexual main character and a interracial couple.
Yeah.
Very progressive, but when they kind of, you know, make jokes about it, it's
It kind of takes away from the progressive aspect.
Yeah, like when you're rehashing stuff from, what was that guy's name? Jack from Will and Grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like,
yeah.
Yep.
But he was the most lovable character.
Yeah. So, yeah, I Hate My Teenage Daughter. Give it a whirl if you're into 30-minute comedies. If you don't like it, that's 20 minutes of your life you'll never get back. But that's only 20 minutes. That could be worse.
Yeah. Anything else you've been consuming, or...?
I just want to talk about American Horror Story on FX, which just finished up last night. It was awful.
Awful? Okay.
Too many ghosts.
Too many ghosts.
If anyone's watching, I don't feel bad at all for spoiling this, but every character on that show is a ghost. except for like two.
Okay, alright. So don't tell people which ones aren't ghosts, just in case you haven't seen the show yet.
Oh, it's pretty clear which ones aren't ghosts, because they're the main characters.
If I give you a name, will you say ghost, yes or no? Connie Britton.
Not a ghost.
Okay.
Morris Chestnut. Kind of a ghost.
he's half ghost?
Older lady. Who knows?
She
births ghosts.
Isn't that considered an interracial or an interdimensional couple when it's... half human, half ghost.
Yeah, they actually brought that topic up when you're talking about how it's kind of impossible for ghosts to carry their seed into human carriers.
Wait, carry my seed.
Wait, so a ghost actually impregnates a human at one point in the show?
Spoiler alert, you're gonna have to find out. But yes.
All right.
It's just really
that
cheesy.
Must be an easy childbirth.
It's just really cheesy, and the problems are set up like bowling pins down the lane. You're just like, oh, we're upside down on the mortgage. We can't move out of this scary house where people are dying all the time because there's no police in L.A. apparently.
Okay.
And the one that is there is banging Connie Britton.
Man, I'm gonna have to put a huge spoiler alort at the front of this episode.
No, don't. This show is so trashy and bad. If people deserve to know what happens, because they need to stay away.
Okay.
It's kind of like an Amber Alert at this point.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, Tyler, let's go to you. What have you been consuming this week?
Gilligan's Island.
It sounds like you're stretching there.
I watched another movie last night called Delirious. Have you guys heard about this with Steve Buscemi?
Delirious. Is that his directorial debut?
I'm not sure. It's this movie he co-stars with Michael Pitt, which are actually the two main characters on HBO's Boardwalk Empire. And it was made back in 2006. I just saw it on IFC. It's where Buscemi plays a paparazzo following... what's that girl's name? From White Oleander?
The
one that looks like she's 12.
Olivia Wilde.
No. Kirsten Dunst.
No, the blonde one.
The girl from Hannah?
Nick Cage stars in a lot of movies with her.
The girl from Matchstick Men?
Allison Lohman.
Allison Lohman, yes.
Okay.
Yes. She stars like a pop... She stars as a pop star who's Michael Pitt quickly becomes obsessed with. And it's an okay movie. It was a little too Deus Ex Machina, but if you're really interested in seeing, you know, how Michael Pitt came to be with Steve Buscemi, it was pretty cool to see, especially after the show Boardwalk Empire just concluded its second season.
So was Delirious filmed before Boardwalk Empire started?
Yes, okay. It was made in 2006.
Okay, all right. Cool.
And Michael Pitt looks a lot like Kurt Cobain in this movie. He kind of looks, he's homeless, and he's dirty, and he's got blonde hair, and he wears kind of that style shirt, like the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben's wearing
and
one
he's
of
got,
the shirts right now.
You know, he's got a haunch about him.
Okay.
Very, very Cobain-esque.
All right.
Yeah, check it out. If it'll probably show again on IFC.
All right, so that's Delirious.
Smells like Ben's spirit.
Oh man, there's so many references there because we just got done talking about spirits with American Horror Story. But
Ben's actually Afghan.
They're all ghost people.
All right, Tyler, let's go to you. What have you been consuming?
Yeah,
recently?
You know, Gilligan's Island, 1964, I think it premiered. Black
spoiler
and white.
Alert.
Spoiler alert: they never get off the island. Featuring, you know, 7 castaways, including Gilligan and assorted others. Started watching season 1 on my road trip. Pretty standard. I mean, if you've never seen an episode, or if you've seen only one episode, you've probably seen every episode.
Right.
I'm not too familiar with Gilligan's Island, and for, like, the first 10 years of my life, I thought the skipper was Gilligan.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a general misunderstanding, because usually the skipper is the one yelling Gilligan and then hitting someone with his hat. He may just be saying
his own
name.
And I feel like he's the face of the show, almost. Like,
yeah.
You see that guy, you're like, oh, that's Gilligan.
Alan Hale, yeah, the skipper.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, it's like Alan Gregory, you think the
canceled.
Tall guy. Yeah, canceled.
Canceled.
You think the tall guy was Alan Gregory, but it's actually the child.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's 7 people, they go out on a boat, and they end up on this island. I don't think I need
Are
to say much
Are you really
more.
Going through the plot of Gilligan's Island right now?
I also watched It's a Wonderful Life, starring Jimmy Stewart.
James Stewart.
Donna Reed. James Stewart, Donna
yep.
Reed. An older Alfalfa from The Little Rascals.
Really?
He's the one that opens the pool during the dance.
Okay.
Dance scene.
Is Jimmy Stewart gonna? Is he on the show later? Is he gonna?
He might call in. Yeah, he might actually call in.
I am really looking forward. I got some questions for that.
Yeah, him and Harry Carey usually hang out together and argue over each other. And finally, I was gonna mention Once Upon a Time, but Joe hates that show, so I'll talk about Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives.
Triple D.
Triple D.
I need that off a flip-flop.
Watching an episode this week. I haven't been watching much, so I'm grasping at straws here. This time he went to. They were making, like, ridiculous Italian food, like stuffed meatballs. I don't know if you ever had a stuffed meatball. And then they put
no.
it with spaghetti. So it was like spaghetti meatballs, but the meatball had, like, meat inside it.
Mm-hmm.
Or not meat, but, like, other, like, pieces of ham. And
yeah. Stuffed.
Yeah, so.
Meat stuffed with meat?
Yeah.
Sounds pretty manly.
It's like an Italian turducken.
Sure.
Who's the host of that show?
Joe?
That would be California-born and raised Guy Fieri.
Okay. But he's actually, his mom's from South Carolina, so he'll work you on Southern foods, like grits and
yeah,
such.
And his real name is Fieri, but to sound more Italian, he had it legally changed to Fieri.
Really? And to look more gay,
fact?
He bleached
That is
every-
a fact.
Okay.
To look more gay, he looked like the lead singer from...
Hey, we can't say, you know, to look more...
No, he's pretty gay.
Bedazzled.
Oh, bedazzled, okay.
That way.
Okay.
Yeah, ABC won't allow it.
He tried to look like the lead singer from Sugar Ray.
Mark McGrath.
Every morning I go. And he only bleaches like this little part on his beard like Ben does.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I don't bleach anything and
I don't
have a beard. So I,
yeah, you do.
I, for one, hope that Mark McGrath gets a Google alert from this episode because he just sits at his computer and waits for
Mark
people
McGrath.
To mention his
Is that like
name.
An Amber Alert?
I think it's where
McGrath
you can
alert.
Just
yeah.
put your name into Google, and anytime somebody mentions you in an article or something, you get a message about it. I don't know. I don't do
I
it.
I get one all the time from the police department.
Right.
Yeah, I like name dropping people like that so they find themselves on Bing later.
Right. Exactly.
What is this?
All right. Well, yeah, that's pretty awesome. So the one thing that I wanted to mention is actually I got a chance to go to a live reading of The Princess Bride at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art in LA. Obviously, Jason Reitman is the director of Juno and he just directed Young Adult, which is out in theaters right now. He hosts this series there, and they do live readings of different movie scripts once a month. And the first one they did was The Breakfast Club, and then they did The Apartment, the Billy Wilder movie, and then this third one was The Princess Bride. So this is the only one that I got a chance to see, and they recast the roles with other famous actors. So some of the cast that was there... Paul Rudd read for the part of Wesley. Mindy Kaling, who plays Kelly in The Office, was Buttercup. Kevin Pollak was Billy Crystal's character, Miracle Max. Nick Kroll... bless you. Nick Kroll from The League was Lord Count Rugen, the six-fingered man. Let's see. Who else? Patton Oswalt. Bless you, man. Crazy. I'm not editing this. No way. Patton Oswalt
sneezing.
Played Vizzini, the inconceivable guy, if you guys know the movie at all.
You told me to go back to the beginning. Vizzini.
Is that an Andre the Giant
who played
impression?
Anne Hathaway's
no, that's
character.
That's the Spaniard's impression.
You're thinking of the Princess Diaries.
All right. Never seen the Princess Diaries. Princess Bride.
Oh, Princess Bride is awesome.
Anne Hathaway's in that too.
No, she's not. Rob Reiner, the director of the Princess Bride, played Peter Falk's character, the grandfather, and then Fred Savage played himself. He came back out because he played the like 11-year-old kid in the movie, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, what's up with him? Like, there was a spread in a magazine where they brought back all the characters from The Princess Bride, but he wasn't on there.
I think he was busy because Fred Savage
was he in the rat suit? Because there was a rat of unusual size, and I assume that's Fred Savage was in the rat suit.
No, I don't think so. That wasn't mentioned. Fred Savage is actually really busy these days. He's directing a lot of episodes of television. He did a lot of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Maybe Two Broke Girls, I don't know.
He's been doing It's Always Sunny for a while.
And also Happy Endings. He directs a lot of Happy Endings episodes, so good stuff. Also,
what happened to Ben Savage?
I don't know. That also
is he out of work?
Up. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Was he not even in the crowd to see his brother perform?
I think former NJNM podcast co-host Pat is a big fan of Chuck, the show on NBC.
Oh,
and
here
said,
we go.
Said that Ben Savage...
Hi, Subway.
Ben Savage made a cameo in Chuck this past season or something like that, and he was like, ooh.
Is that even considered a cameo if nobody watches it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. High five. Okay. And then one other person in the cast that I wanted to mention was Cary Elwes, the guy who played Wesley in the movie, read for the part of Prince Humperdinck, the
Cary
villain.
Ewells?
No, it's actually Elwes. I always thought it was Elwes.
Cary Ewells.
Yeah,
no, it's
Elwes.
Like
Elwes.
Elves, but don't pronounce the V.
They pronounced it there, and he didn't
correct
them.
I think they might have got it wrong.
He probably has one of those new progressive pronunciations.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Elwes. Well, anyway.
Here's the Parson.
He's just...
The live read was really fantastic, and Patton Oswalt, like, freaking killed it as Vizzini. He, during the really extended sword fight sequence in the movie, if you guys are familiar with it, Patton Oswalt pulled out a couple of spoons from offstage and just, like, clanked them into the microphones to imitate sword noises. It was really humorous. And, yeah, the whole thing was really cool. Jason Reitman hosts the series and also reads all the stage directions off to the side, so it's literally just a bunch of people sitting on a stage and reading all the parts, and Reitman fills in all the action and stuff from off to the side, and they have a big screen up above, and they show screenshots from the movie as far as, like, where they are in the course of the film during, or in the course of the script for locations and stuff, so it's pretty cool. If you guys are in LA or visiting LA, I believe it's the third Thursday of every month, Jason Reitman hosts this series, and tickets are like $10, so if you're around, that's definitely worth trying to get into. It's a kind of a co-production with Film Independent, which is a really well-run event, so just wanted to give a shout-out to them. So, alright, well, with that, let's go ahead and move on into our review of BKO Bangkok Knockout. So BKO Bangkok Knockout came out in 2010. It was directed by Panna Ritikrai, who was also the co-director of Ung Bak 2, Ung Bak 3, and he directed Born to Fight. He was also the fight martial arts choreographer for The Protector and the original Ung Bak. Let's go.
Never saw Ung Bak 2.
Joe, am I correct in saying that you actually didn't see BKO Bangkok Knockout? Is that right?
I watched Christmas with the Cranks, and that was about it.
Okay. All right, so...
See, Joe heard Bangkok Knockout and thought Christmas with the Cranks, much like I think 12 Angry Men, and really
usual
say
suspects.
The usual suspects. Yeah. Apologies all around.
I could have watched Elf, but that movie blows.
Okay.
Oh, well, you're not a big Zoe fan?
It's a good movie. Chanel? I'm not a big Elf fan.
Well, I mean, Zoe.
Everybody loves Elf. I don't.
It's a pretty good movie.
So hang on, but I'm curious now. Are you like opposed to the concept of elves or this one particular movie Elf? I don't know.
I mean, I guess the Keebler elves are okay.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I just think it. I feel like it's one of those movies you hear people talk about and all the time, like, oh, it's Elf. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's like Will Ferrell's seventh best movie.
Now, Bob Newhart really carries the film.
As long as you don't rate semi-pro above it, I think I can agree with that.
Is that the one with the Flint Tropics?
Yeah. That one's pretty good, too.
I think it's in the running.
Oh, Lord. All right.
Did you ever see semi-pro, Ben?
I started watching it. That's one of the few movies I've actually turned off because I couldn't finish it.
Well, it doesn't really pick up steam until, like, the last 10 minutes.
Hey, get off me.
Spanked.
I just walk out of movies. I don't like.
All right. Anyway,
you have to review the whole thing.
Well, you didn't even watch this movie. What the hell are you doing here?
I had technical issues.
He's going to review Christmas with the Cranks later on.
Okay,
it's a double review.
All right. Well, I guess you can pipe in with questions or something if you.
Oh yeah, I'll grill you guys like
Christmas with the Blards,
like Peter Jennings or something. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Tyler, let's go to you. What did you think about BKO? Bangkok Knockout, what did you think?
Bangkok Knockout? I mean, I like films like this. I mean, we've seen the same story, at least I've seen this story a couple hundred times because, you know, the Japanese and the Southeastern Asiatic countries love putting children into, like, major games that adults bet on. So, I mean, if you like that genre of film, which I'm going to call Neo-Minor... Death games,
okay.
Genre film.
Avant Blart.
The fighting was really good, and like you said, the director Panna had choreographed other movies that I enjoy, like The Protector, starring Tony Jaa, Ong Bak, related films. I still haven't seen Ong Bak 2. I have seen Ong Bak 3 though, 1 and 3. Both really great films. Both good. Martial arts stuff. I mean, a lot of that's associated with Tony Jaa, but, you know, you could probably associate a lot of the choreography to Panna. The kids in this are ridiculous because they all know martial arts. It seems like every citizen over there knows martial arts at one point in time. And one aspect I did enjoy was, like, the girl wasn't a damsel in distress, like we see in most movies, like American films. And she kicked some butt, too. And, yeah, Pod was all over that shit.
Well, for me, it's like, these movies are better when... The fewer characters you have, the better for me. Because I like the Tony Jaa ones, like you mentioned, Ong Bak, The Protector. And it's basically because it's Tony Jaa versus, whatever, hundreds of guys who have stolen his elephant or, you know, mystical idol or whatever the case happens to be. Whatever the MacGuffin is in those particular movies.
How do you steal an elephant?
I don't know. They stole his elephant, dude.
That's like 8,000 pounds. Where
really,
did he take it?
A really big crate.
Yeah, I don't know. Haven't you seen Operation Dumbo Drop? Okay, there we go.
They dropped that motherfucker.
So, for me, it's a lot better when you only have to worry about one guy and his motivations. And, you know, it makes the character seem like a person in BKO Bangkok Knockout. You've got an entire team of people who are... supposedly some sort of stunt team, like, trying to compete for a spot in a Hollywood movie or something like that. And, yeah, they've all got martial arts knowledge or whatever, and that's great. But you also, by spreading out so many characters, you don't really care, or I didn't anyway, didn't care enough about any of them to actually care if any of them were ever hurt or injured. It's like the stakes weren't really there for me.
Well, they did get up and dance after they were in the hospital, so I think they were faking
that was
the
just
whole thing.
The last day of the shoot or something, and they decided to dance.
Don't ruin the magic for me.
For the credit sequence.
Well, I mean, they wanted to showcase, and another movie that I really don't enjoy was Sci-Fighter or X-Fighter, starring Don the Dragon Wilson, and he tried to do something similar where he's like, oh, look, if I make this shitty film, I can showcase all these different types of martial arts, and it failed epically. But in this film, they were trying to do the same thing, only a little better, a lot better. And I think that's why they need the multiple characters, is because they can't be like, oh, this is a superhuman
who knows every single martial arts move.
Well, that's why the Ong Bak movies are interesting, because it's like Tony Jaa's character gets trained by a bunch of specialists in different types, so he does kind of become that superhero, and for me that's a little bit more interesting to watch than something like this, where it's just, it seems very diluted, like everything's kind of spread out. I don't know. Also, the look of this movie didn't really do a lot for me. It was shot on digital, and you could tell it kind of looked like something that we could make, you know, if we had high-def cameras, like, we could just, like, the lighting was kind of terrible, and it was all shot basically in one location, just this big abandoned house, and it seemed like it was supposed to be this kind of like a solitary battlefield kind
like
of
like a Most Dangerous Game scenario.
Yeah, but when they get to the roof and you kind of see the surrounding areas, they're like in the middle of the suburbs and there's highways right there and stuff, so it's like, wait, where is this? What's going on? Why can't these people just run over to a house next door and call
the
police?
Downtown Bangkok.
I don't know.
Not bad. Is it possible the mystique of this movie was lost in the translation?
There wasn't a translation,
I don't think so, because they had a couple characters that actually spoke English.
It was
which
terrible.
Is pretty rare for these kind of movies, I think.
Sometimes you'll have an American character.
But these foreign movies, I mean, they're made... most of them are made for that audience, like Japanese audience, right?
Right, I think that, yeah, this is a...
Taiwanese.
In this particular case, it's a Thai film. But yeah, for the most part, I see what you're saying. Like, it's, you know, there might be something not literally lost in the translation, but yeah, I got you.
That's how I felt about Battle Royale, another one of those movies that everyone raves about, and I just felt like I was, as an American, I didn't get a lot of it, because there was Japanese scripture on the screen, and emotions, and...
I actually enjoyed that film. I watched it with you, Panther, and it's very similar to this film, except instead of martial arts, it's guns.
But it goes back to what Ben was talking about having too many characters. I mean, there were like 35 kids.
Yeah,
that is true.
And at least 12 of them had, you know, somewhat dynamic personalities.
Right.
Yeah, and that was the other thing about, you know, when you have so many characters in a movie like Bangkok Knockout, at least give them, like, something to separate themselves from the rest of the pack, and there wasn't really a lot of that.
Yeah, like
for
New Year's Eve did, you know?
Great film.
See, if foreign audiences watch New Year's Eve, they would get lost in that, because they don't know who these people are.
I guess maybe you could be right.
It's
could
a solid
just
example
like
of 33 storylines.
Justin Timberlake looks
perfectly.
Like Seth Meyers, looks like Paul Rudd, looks like
Ashton Kutcher,
Tyrese. They're not going to know.
Efron.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're not going to know.
It might be something similar to that, but I think if it's a good movie, it can transcend languages and societal barriers. I think
The Room.
I think storytelling is storytelling, and this, it was particularly egregious. Like, I just didn't...
No.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I don't know.
Egregious is a little too far.
Yeah, I like this
you're
film.
You're pushing my buttons.
Egregious I associate with films like X-Fighter or Sci-Fighter New Year's Eve.
I mean, for, like, there's a part in this movie where, I believe his name was...
Is it Pod or Pom?
Blurm, maybe?
Oh, yeah,
Ram. Ram.
Oh,
okay.
Ram, the old man.
Yeah, the older guy. So Ram shows up with Joy, who had just finished doing her homework, to this party, the celebration party after...
I just finished my homework! Hello, everybody!
So,
let's eat rice
right bowls. Before Joy gets out of the back of the car and they go to join the party, Ram looks at her from the front seat, turns around and says... We have to be home by 11 or the general is going to kill me. And then they never make any mention of who the general is.
It's the leader of their country.
He sells insurance, Ben.
But I was
Rich
joking,
online,
like,
call the general and say
I wish that he just referred to his wife as the general or something, like, oh, we have to be back by 11 or else my wife is getting... Like, there's no, like, storytelling. You set something up and you pay it off later. There was no payoff with that. There's a lot of things where... People just mention things, and then they're just never addressed again.
It's the gold in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. That's what that is.
Yeah, but at least you get to see their reaction to that. There's no mention of
it's
general.
Lost in the translation.
That's just your excuse for everything in this movie.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you get to a party, and you're like, oh, don't forget, we have to pick up milk on our way home. And you're like, okay.
But
and then you get drugged, kidnapped, and put into an abandoned house where you have to fight for your life. You're not going to remember that you have to pick up milk on the way home.
But he says the general is going to kill me, and he seems
not
fairly...
Not literally. He's not going to, like, execution style
it's
up
like,
against
it's
the
like
wall
a, it's
because
like a
you're
little
late.
Kid saying, my mom's going to kill me,
yeah.
I ate the last egg.
Did you ever see that cartoon Recess? I bet they dropped that line, like...
Yes, okay. Spicoli, man.
All right.
Or Spinelli.
Boom. Spinelli.
Spinelli, yeah. All right.
She was the butch girl.
Man, this is...
Well, anyway.
Chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga, off the rails.
For what it was like a showcase of fighting skills.
That was the thing, though. I didn't even like the fighting. Did you
really?
Did you?
Yeah,
find
I thought it was
like...
all right. I mean, there were a couple slow mo parts that could have, like, punching the waterfall.
Slow mo blarts. That is a Freudian slip. If I've never heard one.
Like they had like the punch the waterfall in slow mo.
Yeah,
which
was
aspect,
idiotic.
Which was
like,
dumb.
Why wouldn't they just walk?
Yeah,
one
they're like,
foot
let's get
the
this
other.
Water out of the way. Let me punch you for real. The like. Rob Zombie, Mike Myers character that would go around with his battle axe. That part was pretty sweet, actually. But he kept he missed like 70 times in a row. Like he was 0 for 70 with those axe strikes.
Hit by cars.
And then you don't know what happens to him because he gets blocked by the car at the end, and then he's just like, "Welp, I guess I'm stuck." And then you don't see him for the rest of the movie. Like,
yeah.
It would have been a pretty cool like Big Trouble in Little China ending where they're going home in the road and then all of a sudden like
he
Rob Zombie axe slayer is back. But I mean the movie isn't about, at least for me, it wasn't about character development. It was about showcasing martial arts. And I thought they did an all right job. But I mean I like good choreographed martial arts movies, and sometimes I tune into a martial arts film and they don't have enough of that. And you know, it didn't seem like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, where they're like strings and stuff. It all looked fairly believable in the sense that these were trained people like jumping around and kicking, and the dust was out of control. Like everyone had like a cake of dust on them, so whenever they were kicked, it was like a cloud.
Yeah, just like, to look more dramatic.
Cake pen, yeah.
That's their mace over there.
I'm gonna take that as a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like you're saying, it's. Just a martial arts movie and you don't really go into it for character development. I'm kind of the same way. I wish that they hadn't had as many characters and that you didn't really, I don't know, I felt like the movie just got bogged down a little bit in what it was trying to do. It would have been a lot simpler if they could have just said, okay, this is what's happening, there's like 5 characters that you have to worry about, instead of having like, I don't know, 10 or 12 and having them pair off in groups of 2, and then, like, they're fighting certain people, and then, oh, let's talk about this. You've got the whole subplot of the American guy in a gambling trailer, I think he called it, where you've got, like, a couple flat-screen TVs.
Right.
And, like, the biggest high rollers in the world
sitting
there with him. It's like, these are the worst actors of the entire movie.
They were bad.
Sitting right here.
Yeah, he was terrible. Like, all of the American English lines were awful.
Yeah.
And he had, like, him, what was his name, like Sneed or something?
Yeah, something like that.
He was bad, and then he had like the Asian guy who was like, "I know every Muay Thai fighter. What, I've lost all my money?"
I think he was my least favorite person in the entire movie. Like the Sneed guy, he was a terrible actor, but at least he like had a little bit of personality.
Yeah, he was a douche.
The guy, I think his name was Chen in the movie, like the Asian guy, the gambler in that gambling trailer. He like, I don't know where they found that guy.
Right.
He was like a
where they find a lady.
I've seen high school productions with better acting than that.
They had like the perfect lady at the beginning who spoke really good English. Like she was a secretary, but then they get like the broken English lady to speak the English lines in the trailer. And you're like, well, why wasn't she the secretary?
Switch
and
the
then
roles.
Have the hot Asian girl be the
like
the
high
perfectly
roller.
English high roller, yeah. And then they kept like reiterating the fact that like we don't know how odds work, so like, okay. Like every couple of scenes or so, they'd be like, "Okay, if you bet $1,000 and he wins, you win $10,000. If you bet $100,000 but bet against him, you'll only win $10,000." We know how odds work.
Yeah, they over.
These sound like problems Rambo could have fixed. This is why he wanted to go in and change things.
Okay, wasn't that Vietnam?
I think so.
Or was that? Oh, and
maybe
John
Iraq,
Rambo.
The
it was.
Third one.
He went to Laos and Burma, all that. You know, he wanted to change filmmaking and democracy, just a clean slate.
He was an idealist. Yeah,
you can't change society without guns. Or whatever
you can
was.
Change, and I can change. We all can change.
Yeah, if he puts all of his change speeches together, we will reform these kind of movies, and you want to talk about them in such a negative way.
Maybe Paul Blart needs to go in and bring some democracy to these Southeastern Asiatic countries.
Oh, man.
BKO by Blart out! Technical BKO!
I don't know.
So yeah, there should be a. There's definitely going to be a sequel to this.
I don't want to see it.
I'll watch it, but I mean, for those that are looking for martial arts movies, like if you liked The Protector, Ombak, Ombak's really good though.
Yeah.
If you want something that's not as good as The Protector, Ombak, I mean, this is in the same vein.
I would say this was kind of like a Dynamite Warrior level, if you remember that one.
Oh, yeah, I do. That one was weird.
Yeah, that's
kind of
weird. It seems like the... Mid-grade. I don't know, I hope this isn't a step in the wrong direction for this genre as a whole. Like, I hope it hasn't reached its peak with the Ombak movies and The Protector, and now it's kind of on a downslide.
No, I think as long as they're trying to highlight martial arts in a ridiculous fashion, mm-hmm. I think... I wouldn't complain too much, because as long as we see that, we're on the track.
It's going down.
I mean, it's when they institute more drama than fighting is when I'm going to start getting pissed and writing letters in what I perceive as tie.
As tie.
Yeah.
Man, those will be interesting to read. I think we agree conceptually on this movie that it's not nearly as good as The Protector and Ombak and those ones that we mentioned. But
if you want a good combo, put this... Bangkok Knockout and Battle Royale together, I think you'll have a pretty good evening.
Yeah, there's also did you see that movie the Condemned, the Stone Cold Steve Austin movie?
Oh, you know it.
But yeah, it was kind of like that too, where it's just like closed circuit cameras everywhere, kind of like Death Race also. I mean, there's a lot of those. What did you call it? The Neo Minor Death Game genre. Yeah. Where this Bangkok Knockout fits in the Neo Minor Death Game genre, I think it's pretty low down there.
Oh, really?
There's a lot
so you've
more,
seen better?
There's a lot more entertaining ones, yeah. I think the original Death Race 2000, Death Race, the Jason Statham remake.
At least seven better.
Well, Neo, I'm thinking 2000 plus.
Okay, okay.
It's the elf of the Neo Minor Death Game.
Sure.
What?
Oh, I see. Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, I think that pretty much concludes our thoughts on Bangkok Knockout. There's not really a ton to talk about except for the martial arts, which I think you liked a little bit more than I did. Like, fighting styles and stuff. Like, it just didn't seem like anybody was that much of a master at their particular thing.
Well, they are kids.
So, yeah.
They're still learning.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like Cobra Kai. Right?
Born to Fight, also, we should mention, is another one that Panna Ritikarai directed, and that one had a lot of really great stunts. And I think the first, like, 30 minutes are really slow, and then the whole rest of the movie is crazy action.
Oh, wow, he directed Chocolate, too?
I think so, yeah.
That's on it. That's not... I have that on my Netflix.
Wait, no. He didn't. He did the martial arts choreography for that one.
Oh,
that
right. I'll still watch it.
Chocolate was directed by the same director that did...
Chocolat?
Ombak.
No, not Chocolat. Chocolat, I've had my Netflix queue for like a year. I didn't know this was in the same vein.
Yeah. Yeah.
More life.
Well, so you want to pull the Apple II and let people know what
you
we're
going
to
do? You know what,
Ben?
I'm going to keep the Apple II where it is right now. I think we're going to go on a quick break.
Okay.
But we'll definitely let listeners know, the 2 to 3 listeners that check out our show weekly. We'll let them know in some form or fashion what movie we'll be watching. It might be Santa's Sleigh. We don't know. If we get a hold of that copy,
you
we might
watch
that. You
can't pull it up because the Apple II has a virus, doesn't
we'll
it?
Try. It has a 1983 virus that just turns all the ones to zeros and the zeros to ones, and so everything's mixed up. I can't get a sentence in edgewise. Carmen Sandiego is down for the count. I can't play that piece of shit. But we'll try to have Bill Goldberg on. He's a huge fan of Santa's Sleigh. He's actually the star of Santa's Sleigh. So if we can get a hold of him, we'll definitely get a jackhammer on that.
He's a huge fan of this show, too.
I've heard that, yeah.
Because once Hanukkah's over, he doesn't worry about Christmas because he's Jewish.
Right.
So boom, I'll show up for these guys.
Which is funny because in Santa's Sleigh, yeah, he's actually negatively affected by David, the star of David, because he's... Yeah,
that's crazy. You gotta watch Santa's Sleigh. Gotta see it.
That is avant-garde.
Avant-blart.
Avant-blart.
To the cloud!
But other than that...
Yeah, keep your eyes peeled for our Facebook and Twitter and stuff, and maybe we'll let people know a couple days before.
Maybe.
Or maybe we won't. Maybe it'll just be a mystery movie. We've done that in the past before.
Ooh, a TNT Wednesday night mystery movie?
Maybe. That sounds like...
Get your flashlights, folks.
Something from the 90s. I don't remember that.
Three showings of Backdraft!
Awesome. All right, well, you guys can always leave us a voicemail at 904-469-6566 or shoot us an email at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. We're in iTunes. You can subscribe to this podcast for free. Leave us a review. That would be great. We're on Facebook and Twitter, twitter.com/NJNMpodcast. We have a couple new followers we wanted to mention this week. At Birkarna871, at JNevermind, at UrsaMajor_sound, and at Velocichun776. So thanks for the follows
there. Pretty good guys.
We also have an email from James, a.k.a. Framus, from the episode that we did last week. So his email says...
Die Hard and Die Hard 2.
Says, I believe the word you were looking for was conveyor belt.
It was indeed.
Yeah, we were having...
that is what you use at a grocery store, is little put bit it on of a conveyor belt. It conveys it to the register.
Yeah, there you go.
What did you say originally?
I couldn't think of
we
the damn thing.
We couldn't come up with anything.
I said the rolling machine.
We just lost it. I don't know. We sort of had a little bit of a brain fart. A brain blart, if you will. okay, so back to James' email. Anyway, loving the show so far. I was a Cool World fan when I was a kid. They played it over and over on HBO in the mid-90s. I was surprised you didn't talk about how preposterous the plot of Die Hard 2 is.
Awesome.
If you do a little reading, you'll find out the plot to keep all those planes in the air is ridiculous. Also, is it possible to download back episodes on the website? I tried, but it would only let me stream them. I'm dying to know what you thought of FX 1 and 2.
Ooh,
keep
nice.
It up, Framus.
Yeah, I sent him an email back. I'm going to try to find a way to... When we put him in the archive section, we'll have the episode article, and then right next to it, we'll have a download.
Yeah.
Like a save link as download thing.
It'll take us a little while to get through all that stuff, but we'll keep it going into 2012. Beginning of the first couple months, we'll start working on that. So,
but for now, you can go to the RSS feed, and... usually, depending on your browser, usually you'll be able to go to the RSS feed and go to the end of each entry, and it'll have the file, the MP3 file, for download. So if you know what I'm talking about, you'll be able to find it there. If you don't, just wait a couple weeks, and we'll have those up. Or you can just go to Mavio. Usually they'll have them.
You guys should put them on audio tape.
Maybe some beta.
Group them on genre and guests. Like I only want to hear what Elizabeth Rapp has to say.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my jam right there.
The best of Elizabeth Rapp.
Yeah.
NJ and
you
podcast.
Put them all on one CD, and you put it in your car, and you listen to it.
There you go.
Also, you can subscribe through iTunes and download them through that. And unless you don't have iTunes, then the RSS...
The past years.
And also, as Tyler mentioned, your browser, it might be a little different. So for me, it doesn't work in Google Chrome, but it does work in Firefox.
Yes, so you may want to backgrade to Firefox for a second to download old episodes.
Yeah, there you go.
If you do have any more questions, send us an email. I'm usually... pretty good with that whole answering.
Good stuff. So thanks for the email, James. And
Framus.
Framus. Sorry. And let's go ahead and finish up the character name game. So Kirk Lazarus was the character. You guys have any idea what movie Kirk Lazarus is from? Any
Dueling
guesses?
Dragons.
Dueling Dragons is a ride at Universal Studios Islands of Adventure, so I don't think
Is that not the film where the two dragons were battling each other?
Double Dragon?
No,
maybe?
Dragon Wars.
Dragon Wars.
D-Wars.
Yeah, D-Wars, yes. My guess is D-Wars.
No, incorrect. Kirk Lazarus.
Kirk Lazarus? Is this a Bible film?
Nope.
Is it the Ten Commandments?
No, it's not. It's not a Bible film.
Oh, okay.
I'll give you a hint. The movie that it's kind of connected to is Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, which came out in wide release this past weekend.
Can you just say Sherlock Holmes 2?
Sure. Sherlock Holmes
Less
2.
Than zero.
No, but it is a Robert Downey Jr. movie.
Lucky Number 11.
He was not in that one, no. That was Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, but no, it's not that movie.
Layer cake.
What's the movie with Zach Galifianakis?
Due Date.
Due Date.
No, it's not that one.
Due Date?
No, it's a movie from 2008. It had a fairly large
Sherlock
cast.
Holmes 1.
Nope. That would be Sherlock Holmes, not Kirk Lazarus.
What? It's a Robert Downey Jr. character?
Yes,
okay. 2008. Oh, he was in Iron Man.
Yeah, that would be
where
Tony Stark.
He played Tony Stark.
And this movie was directed by Ben Stiller. Might give
T-Thunder.
Yes, Tropic Thunder, indeed. Kirk
Suck
Lazarus.
It, Joe!
Kirk Lazarus was Robert Downey
Jr.'s.
He said
T-Thunder.
Actor.
I'd like to ring in Alex. Tropic Thunder.
Correct. Yes.
Please phrase
it
in
the said it incorrectly.
All right.
Panther stole that from me?
Sure.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah! Titty Twister.
All right, well... If you guys...
Sorry.
If you guys have...
Bosom Twister...
If you've listened to this episode and have somehow stayed entertained enough to want to continue to listen to our episodes in the future, you can track us down at notjustnewmovies.com for all the back episodes. We're also posting all of our episodes at geektyrant.com if you want to find us there. Let's go around the circle really quickly, just tell everybody where they can find more of our work on the internet. Joe Leninger, let's start with you.
I just exclusively write at the Playing Field, theplayingfieldblog.com.
All right.
And a little bit at CampbellClutchblog.com about wrestling and so other manly stuff.
Guess it's not exclusive then, is it?
Two exclusives.
Okay, yeah. Two exclusives, all right.
You'll only find his writing there.
And Tyler, how about you?
TheSolarSentinel.blogspot.com. We got a couple posts going in December.
The Solar Sentinel's back up?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's got its gears turned a little bit.
I saw the NWO was kaput.
Yeah, they broke up. Also, the Lord of the Rings reviews for December should be up soon if Ben could get his act together and watch the fucking films.
Yes, I should mention that Tyler completed his review of Fellowship of the Ring maybe a week ago, and he's just waiting on me to watch it so I can add my little 2 cents in there.
I'll be watching the other two movies this week.
And you can also find those reviews at notjustnewmovies.com.
Largejustnewmovies.com.
And Tyler also runs the Twitter feed.
Oh, yeah, I'm on Twitter. Sometimes I'll get movies confused. I'm an old man. But I'm pretty funny, so follow us.
And yeah. Okay.
Lots of puns.
Lots
of pun will be had.
And now I can only imagine all the blart action that's going to be coming from the Twitter feed in the next couple days.
Speaking
well, you guys can
puns, is there going to be any more pun wars coming up?
I don't know if these people know anything about that. We'll talk about that.
Have the balls.
We'll talk about
that
off
balls,
camera.
Joe.
We'll talk about that off camera. All right, well, you guys can track me down on twitter.com/benpears. You can find me writing at geektyrant.com, which is where I did a big write-up of the Jason Reitman live read of Princess Bride.
You probably linked to that.
I'll put a link to it, but if you guys are in your cars or something and you want to check it out later on, just
audio tape.
Don't text and drive.
Just Google Geek Tyrant live read Princess Bride. You'll
don't
find
GT
it.
And drive.
And you can find my reviews at filmonic.com and notjustnewmovies.com.
Still right for that place?
The namesake for this podcast. And you can hear me also on the Geek Tyrant Weekly Podcast. Music for this episode will come courtesy
was Kung Fu Fighting.
That might be a little racist. I think
we
played
that last year.
Yeah, for the last year.
Well, it's the annual Christmas episode.
Okay, maybe I'll use that.
I wish we could get some
seriously.
Jingle bells in there like when we play it, because I'm hoping we do a martial arts film every Christmas.
Yeah, maybe we'll like work on a Christmas martial arts song, like
yes.
an official one, and
yes.
like we'll make it.
DJ Ben, mix up some Michael Bublé and some some Trans-Siberian and maybe some Jingle Bells.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Trans-Siberian Blarkishtra.
Gosh. All right, well, yes, we do want to wish a happy holidays and Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. Thank you for listening. If you guys want to shoot us an email...
Notjustnewmovies@gmail.com.
Yes, or leave us a voicemail. Maybe
904-something-something, NJNM.
Maybe your favorite Christmas movies or something, if you want to list those, that'd be good. Whatever, we're looking for feedback. So thanks for listening. Thanks to Joe for stopping by and hanging out with us a little bit.
And people, if you're trying to order your gifts online, they will not get to your house by Christmas. You had to have ordered at least a week or two ago.
Yeah.
You have to go back into the past.
So sorry.
It's game over.
I'm looking at you, Joy.
Joy Philbin?
I wish she was here. No, Joy from the movie.
Okay.
Right. She was hot. Right, Ben?
Right. All right. Well, thanks for listening,
everybody.
We'll talk to you all later on.
Joe, off the rails.